Well, interesting times in college football and all of sports for that matter. And here to shed some light on what's happening in college football and specifically in the FCS ranks, we're happy to be joined by our friend Craig Haley of Stats Perform. And boy, you've been working overtime the last couple of months trying to figure all this out with everyone else.
You're right, Rich. But it's not like we're talking X's and O's with football. It's just everything, you know, related about whether there's a season and then just, you know, the whole COVID pandemic, you know, how it affects fall sports. It hasn't been fun, in the typical way.
No, not at all. So where are we as of this hour? How many conferences are we talking? Was it six conferences that have opted out?
Correct. I kind of know them off the top of my head these days. You know, the Ivy and Patriot Leagues, the MEAC, the SWAC, CAA, as you know, the Northeast Conference was last week. I mean, yeah, about half the conferences, because that's 6 out of 13. And you know, the Pioneer League has already said they would only be playing league only. So it's kind of split down the middle. You know, these other conferences are hopeful. You know, some of the bigger ones as well, you know, the Big Sky and the Missouri Valley, you know, in with the CAA as the big three. But they're all kind of waiting right now. You know, they pushed it back to see how the environment is, and just the NCAA Board of Governors meeting obviously is tomorrow, and they may announce if there's going to be any fall championships, which includes the FCS playoffs. They may not, you know, may not announce that either, and I just think it's, this has to be the week in my eyes for these other conferences to decide, because their practices, for the most part, begin on Friday.
Let's talk about a couple of those CAA teams that said they would continue to pursue independent schedules. Have you heard anything about either JMU or Elon being able to pick up games?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the obvious idea that you want to do if you're those schools is to actually add a couple FBS games, because you know, you can use that revenue. You're used to having an FBS game, and you know, that funds a good deal of your athletic department, a good percentage, that is. So as these conferences has dropped out, there's not really a lot of, you know, regional matchups out there for these schools. Maybe you could fill 6 to 8 games, but if you're not traveling far and these schools really don't want to, they want to keep it to a bus trip. They want to keep it as close as possible. You know, I'm finding it hard for these schools to find, you know, that it's going to be hard for them to fill out, you know, a schedule. And I mean, Villanova is a perfect example. They left it open as well as the other team in the CAA, but there's just nobody really in the Northeast for them to match up with, at least on an FCS level. So, it's hard. You know, but I mean, a school like JMU is obviously attractive, that, you know, they have a better chance than others.
I do find it ironic that the schools that have shut down, the conferences that have shut down, are largely in the Northeast, where the pandemic is fairly well controlled right now. And the schools that are gung-ho to keep on playing are in the areas that are hardest hit.
Well, you're right. You know, the NEC, the Patriot League, the Ivy League, you know, that's 3 of the 6 right there, and the CA, I'm sorry. So, yeah, you're definitely right in that regard. I also think that they're recognizing perhaps the, you know, what's inevitable. I mean, these other conferences are still hopeful, and we mentioned the Big Sky, the Missouri Valley. You know, you also have the SoCon, the Big South, the Southland, you know, the Ohio Valley. They're all, you know, some of them are situated in hot spots right now, but I think, you know, in that 11th hour when these school presidents are, you know, staring at a midnight deadline and it's time to finally make that decision, I just think very few of them are going to say, you know, we can't do this. We can't put student athletes in harm's way. You know, it's a litigious society. You know, we have to worry about that. You know, we're already making decisions of online classes and, you know, staggered move-in dates for students. You know, I just think they're all going to question, how can we have fall sports? And I think we're definitely going to have more of these other conferences across the country, you know, bowing out for the fall.
We're talking with Craig Haley here on Downtown. Interesting development may be happening at the FBS level, with the Power Five possibly using this as an opportunity to break away from the NCAA, but they've got their own troubles there with players in the Pac-10 demanding changes be made. This is not going well for the big schools either.
Well, it wouldn't be the Power Five if there wasn't some big issue going on. And they actually, stand a chance. They've talked about it for a long time, going on their own. But, even if there's no fall championships, and that's, the championships in football kind of affect the FCS a little more, but, the NCAA doesn't really run the postseason for the FBS level. But, to me, there's validity in having, playing for a conference title. That gets lost these days in the sports world where everybody's thinking postseason. I think, there's a lot of sense there, but I don't know. I mean, even though the Power Five talk about moving on, it's been a while. There's a lot of issues involved in that I just don't know if this is also the time to do that. It's almost a time where we should all be thinking of getting things done together and not just, what's best for me.
Also interesting to see what impact this can have on FCS rosters. I noted earlier today that an offensive lineman from Villanova has entered the transfer protocol, and at least part of the reason behind that is that they won't be playing this year, and he wants the chance to play.
You're right. It's gotten out of hand. I mean, the amount of transfers and kids looking to transfer, and then you mentioned Paul Groton, the lineman who's a pro prospect. If you're not going to have a season, it makes more sense. But this was starting to get out of hand, day one after the end of the season last year, that, the portal was filling up already, and it's really hit the FCS level hard. I mean, you can almost make an All-America team of players who are, looked or are leaving, have left the FCS. So it's unfortunate. It's here to stay. It shows you in a good way how much talent is on the FCS level, that, players can go to, Power Five schools. And you look at Jabril Cox, the linebacker from North Dakota State. I mean, he went from one national champion to the other in LSU. But, again, it's an issue that's really eating up the FCS.
Now, for those conferences that have talked about pursuing a spring schedule, I'm curious, just how realistic is that to play, even if it's a 6 or 8 game schedule in the spring, and then turn around just 3 or 4 months later and get ready for a fall season?
Well, yeah, especially the injured players, because then you're going to have players that are forcing the issue that maybe they're not fully healthy, and because nobody wants to miss time. You're talking about, juggling a lot of balls if it's playing in the spring fall sports, because then you're talking about fall, winter, and spring teams all colliding at the same time for a month or two for sure. And there's facility concerns, staffing concerns at the schools. It's asking a lot. At the same time, I don't know if that's a reason to hold back from doing it, because these fall athletes deserve that opportunity if it's there. But it's, these other conferences that in the FCS that haven't said no to the fall, they've talked openly about, wow, that's the last resort, because we know that's the next issue if we really do have to play all our sports teams at once.
Well, and eligibility becomes a nightmare to try and figure out, and that goes back to the NCAA, an organization that seems a bit reluctant to make a decision. And I, as you said, I won't be shocked if they even tomorrow decide to delay another week or two before pulling the plug on championships. At the same time, they control eligibility, and so for colleges and for coaches, I think in Maine right now, they're having fall practice and treating it like a spring practice session, but it's a nightmare to try and get a grip on what you can and cannot do right now.
You're right, and sometimes it's that way, Rich, just because the NCAA rule book is so big and so much to worry about. But, yeah, I mean, I think schools are looking for Mark Emmert and the NCAA to, really just come out with decisions, because it's kind of been, so much uncertainty throughout this, entire shutdown. And yes, they can delay the decision tomorrow, the NCAA governor, Board of Governors, and push it back another week and just see where we stand. But, at some point you have to have closure here, whether you're saying, hey, we're moving forward with a season or we can't do this. And these schools are just ready for an answer now at this point, especially with football practices starting up this Friday. And in some cases, if you have a week zero game, you just started practice this past weekend.
Also, the optics of the whole situation. I'm a public school teacher. We're looking at going back in some fashion in a few weeks' time, and there's no chance in the world that we're going to be able to test students before they go back. But then you've got the optics of college football testing thousands and thousands of players on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, the FBS level has more money invested in all of this, obviously, and can better afford testing than the FCS level. I mean, there are programs on the FCS level that are, you know, much more financially sound than others, but everybody, that's been a concern all along. I think a couple months ago, the FCS level especially thought, well, we're hearing that testing costs will really be much lower once we get to the football season, and we've gotten here, and then people are just worried that it can get done and you can get results in time. So that's a huge issue. I mean, again, if you're not going to have students on campus or just you're going to have students on campus for online, that's just, you know, suggesting that, you know, maybe it's not a time for the fall sports. But we're all, you know, everybody's hopeful. Everybody wants to see this, you know, have fall sports. But, you know, when push comes to shove, it just seems like, you know, school presidents are saying we can't get this done.
Interesting times indeed. Craig, we really appreciate all the great work you're doing, keeping all of us folks in the FCS world up to date on what's happening. And thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Always enjoy it, Rich. I appreciate it. Thank you.